Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, Doctor,
Doctor,
Mr. MD,
Doctor,
now can you tell me?
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. I hope you had a great day. We're going to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. And my engineer Frank and I are ready to roll. And thanks for joining us here on American Voice Radio for the first part of the show. We're going to be talking, we're going to be talking about some industry standards that affect health. And we're also going to be talking about, stomach ulcers and some, we'll see how the hour rolls, see if we have more time to discuss other things. And we have a quack report, but don't forget, coming up next Tuesday on the 17th, Dr. Carley is going to be here. Yes, Dr. Rebecca Carley, our wellness expert in vaccines. She's the expert in reversing vaccine-induced diseases, and she'll be back here Tuesday, so I hope you can join us. If you want to check out our website, we do have a banner that links to her website on our links page at thepowerherbs.com, so you can just click on the link. The links tab and look for her banner there. All right. Big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I lift them up in prayer. I'm lifting all of America up in prayer. I'm seeking the Lord's face, as Isaiah 59 instructs, asking for justice and truth. I'm asking for righteous men of valor with understanding and knowledge in the Lord's way to rise up and just lead this country back to one nation under God. You know, that's where we're supposed to be, but we've gotten off track. So we got to repent. America needs to repent and seek the Lord's face. And he'll hear. He will heal the land, he says, if we do that. Remember Nineveh? I was talking to my cousin about that today. You know, Jonah and the whale, that thing. Well, Jonah, he got a marching orders from the Lord. Go to Nineveh and prophesy that if they don't repent and return to my ways, then in 3 days I'm going to destroy them. And, of course, Jonah didn't want to do that because, you know, Niveans, they were like enemies. And he was worried he'd get stoned. So Jonah instead decided, you know, I'm going to take this cruise over here. He gets on a ship. And, of course, a great storm rises up. And the people on the ship figure he's the bad omen. And this is why they have this storm and they don't want to die. So they chuck his butt overboard. And then he gets swallowed by a whale. And he's in the belly of the whale 3 days, according to scripture. And then the whale, you know, pukes him up on the beach of Nineveh. The Niveans see this. And now if you're in the belly of the whale for 3 days, you're exposed to a lot of digestive juices. And they start to eat away at your skin and cause it to turn blue. So this whale pukes out Jonah, and he's all blue. And the Niveans see this, and then he starts prophesying that, you know, you need to repent, get rid of your idols, go back to the Lord, or the Lord's going to destroy you in 3 days. Well, they believed him because the Niveans, well, they worshipped a fish, a blue fish. So, you know, God's got a sense of humor. All right. Well, let's mind the time. It grows short. Seek the Lord's face, and let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. All right. Hey. Anybody out there got iPods? I personally don't have one, but I know a lot of people who like them. Well, you know, they think they may be able to take your iPod and turn it into a medicine machine for you. Yeah, let's just call it Dr. iPod. Yeah, there's the CEO of a company called PureTech. Her name's Daphne Zohr, and they look for different ways to, you know, different perspective at doing different things. So, when they were looking at medical issues, they, you know, kind of consulted with leading experts, and together they came up with this, you know, what if we, you know, look at this at a different way, and, you know, try to help people with certain diseases, whether it's, you know, depression or insomnia or whatever, with music. So today, I see that they unveiled some new technology called the Sync Project. And it measures the impact music has on the human body in order to find ways to treat a range of conditions, fatigue, autism, you name it. So their logic is wearable tech allows you to gather massive quantities of data about the human body, and they can layer that into, I guess, an algorithm of programs and spit out what they think will be the right music. I don't know. But anyway, I thought it was interesting. You know, we got Dr. Kiosk, and let's have paging Dr. iPod. Yeah. Moving along in the quack report. Oh, goodness. This is just interesting. In Rome, forensic experts in Italy, I think it was this week, they reconstructed the DNA of a national war hero and poet, by analyzing some semen that was left on a handkerchief that was given to his lover, Olga Brunner, in 1916, so it was 100 years ago. So this is a global first. A proto-fascist warmonger, Gabriel Annunzio's DNA, was reconstructed without exhuming his remains, and they matched it up with a relative of his great-grandson, I think. So they have no reason to reconstruct, you know, this 100-year-old Annunzio. But they joked around that the experiment could lead to future cloning of historical figures, if You know, they don't have remains. They may have some other. Anyway, what they did is the handkerchief was in the museum, and they just happened to notice using a crime scope that there's some splotches on there. They analyzed the liquid, and guess what? It was semen. So in 1919, D'Annunzio seized the city of Fiume, and which is now Croatia, and he set up his independent state. Didn't last long, though. Yeah. All right. Exhuming lover handkerchiefs. All right, last but not least, in the quack report. All right, you remember we reported on the lab-grown hamburger meat, you know, a while back. Well, now, guess what? Test tube chicken meat on the rise. That's right. 2 years after the scientists have, you know, cooked up their burger tube of hamburger, researchers in Israel are now working on something trickier, the first lab-grown chicken. So Professor Geffen, a bioengineer at Tel Aviv University, they've begun this year-long study to manufacture chicken in the lab. It's funded by a nonprofit group called the Modern Agriculture Foundation. They hope to culture the meat and one day replace having to raise animals for slaughter. So the foundation's co-founder is hoping to produce a recipe for how to culture chicken cells by the end of this year. They say that the task is more difficult than producing that lab-grown hamburger, which costs $300,000 for one beef patty to make. Apparently, they're just not going to be taking chunks of meat and then trying to splice and create cells. They're just going to start with a whole piece of chicken and take a cell from there, I guess. So animal rights activists just love this stuff. So do the environmentalists. So growing chicken in the lab would be a big step. It accounts for nearly a third of the world's total meat, and it's second behind pork. So when are we going to do the pork in the lab then? I don't know. But they're expected to overtake this whole thing, this whole grow your animal in a lab within the next 10 years. There you go. Save money, I guess. I don't know what it's going to do to human health, but it's going to be interesting, to say the least. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thanks, Frank. I'm not a big advocate for rewriting God's copyright, you know. I'm not a big advocate in reinventing that wheel. Mm-mm. All right, well, let's talk about some industry standards and how it's going to affect health. You know, it really does amaze me, though, that people will trust a new drug without really investigating it much, and they just hope that the side effects won't be too bad. It really astonishes me, too, that you see the TV ads for drugs that highlight some of the side effects, and those are worse than the condition the drug's being used to treat. Don't switch your TV channel, because usually following that drug ad is an ad for a law firm asking viewers if they've been harmed by the drug to contact their law firm for their class action suit. So we're going to take a look at what millions of people put their faith in every day and what the real risk is when attempting to manage the symptoms of their disease. First, we're going to check out the FDA. They have, they're known as the watchdog, the drug watchdog, the FDA is. And so if we take a visit to the FDA's website, they have this general guideline area listed on their approval process for prescription drugs. If you check out their FAQ page, they state that drugs are evaluated by the FDA to ensure the drugs marketed in the United States are safe and effective. That's their statement. So the FDA states that they're not involved in the animal or the human testing of the drugs or any of the drug research, but the FDA leaves that responsibility to the drug manufacturers. So the evaluation process of the submitted data on the drugs, well, the FDA does conduct that, and they have a review panel of experts. They have physicians and statisticians, chemists, pharmacologists, and other scientific experts on this panel. And you would think that with a panel of these experts that they would prevent deadly drugs from entering the market, right? Well, you would think so. Well, they have this checklist. The FDA has their drug checklist. And so if they're going to review a drug, especially when if it's had the clinical human trial, they look over the results, and it usually goes as follows. They'll number one, they'll ask the question, does the drug affect the body as stated? For an example, if it is said to be a drug that lowers blood pressure, does the drug actually do that? So they'll look at that. And then they'll check the drug doses and the frequency of use. And then they'll review the side effects that are listed in the submitted review and how they can be managed. And then they look at how the body breaks down the chemicals in the drug for accumulation effects, otherwise known as toxicity. And they'll check the drug interactions with food and beverages and other medications to identify what should be avoided. And lastly, they'll look at the overall rating of the drug effectiveness for the market approval. All right, and so there is also this data review process. So according to the FDA, there's this two-tiered process in drug approvals, as stated in the Prescription Drug User Free Act of 1992. Now, there is a standard, and there's a priority review process, and a drug that offers minor improvement will fall under the standard review process, and that can take about 10 months. Drugs that appear to offer major advances in treatments or new treatments will fall under the priority review, and they can take about 6 months. And then there's also this fast-tracked accelerated approval option for the approval of breakthrough therapies, or, you know, if the drug has advantages over existing treatments, and advantages would be such as superior effectiveness, no serious side effects, statistically better patient outcomes, reduced treatment toxicity, and, of course, the anticipation of public health need, also known as your pandemic vaccines. So the accelerated process, well, that takes about 60 days. And, of course, all your vaccines fall under that one. Well, then what do they do about the over-the-counter stuff? Have you ever wondered about that? Well, how does the FDA handle the approval for the over-the-counter drugs, also known as OTCs? Well, there are too many OTC products. There's like over 300,000 of them for the agency to review. Like drugs, they can't do it. So therefore, what they do, the agency lumps them into categories pertaining to the active ingredients in them. For example, if the product is an analgesic or an antacid, it gets placed into the therapeutic category that contains about 80 different classes of drugs. So each class of drug has a recipe book, and they are known as monographs, which will list the drug's approved ingredients, the dose, formulation, and labeling. So all that the manufacturers have to do, if they want to, like, make an antacid product, well, they all have to do is follow the recipe, and they could market that over-the-counter antacid product without FDA pre-approval. So the FDA concludes that the over-the-counter monographs or recipes are safe and effective. So your allergy drugs, your pain relievers, your digestive, and your sleep aids, and any other new OTC products are not closely monitored, and they could they don't require to be examined by the FDA before entering the market. Did you know that? Well, let's check empirical history for a minute, because, you know, empirical history of herbs goes back thousands of years, and according to the World Health Organization, 25% of pharmaceutical drugs in the United States are made from plants. Well, I think it's more like 2%, because they tend to convert the plant chemicals into synthetic copycats so they can lower the manufacturing costs. Now, nearly 80% of the population in Africa and Asia use medicinal herbs instead of pharmaceutical drugs, and the reason they give is for lower cost and no side effects. Now, allopathic medicine calls herbal medicine the, quote, alternative form of medicine, because they state there's no scientific evidence to support claims. Well, I think allopathic has that backwards. Herbal medicine is the original medicine, and allopathic medicine is the alternative medicine. If there were no reports to support therapeutic action of herbs, then why do they use herbs to make their drugs to begin with? All right, let's look at what I noticed. I noticed something. Yes, I did. According to medical science, they report that herbal remedies are popular with patients diagnosed with cancer, diabetes, asthma, and late-stage renal disease. And I believe I know the reason for this. People start out with a condition their doctors say can be managed. And some patients may interpret that to mean an eventual cure. However, over time, it becomes evident that they are not getting better and their condition continues to deteriorate. And in the chronic and final stages of the disease, allopathic medicine has really nothing to offer because they've managed the disease as long as they can. So the patient is kind of left high and dry, and they're out of desperation, they turn to natural therapies. So had they started out using natural therapies, they significantly would have improved their chances of helping their body overcome the disease because patients put themselves behind the eight ball using the toxic treatments allopathic medicine dispenses. And the last thing a body needs is toxins and evasive procedures. So it needs the building blocks of healing nutrition, you know, enzymes and minerals and vitamins. And herbs have high concentrations of those types of nutrients. Well, I had to check, you know, into the stats that they have on file. On death by FDA-approved drugs, you know, I had to go there. You know I did. The statistical numbers are significant on the deaths at the hand of your scientific medicine. These are United States statistics from the FDA on their MedWatch, their forms 3500 and 3500A. So these are the statistics they gather. So these are incidences caused by taking a prescription medication producing serious outcomes such as life-threatening conditions requiring hospitalization, disability, and death. Okay, so you can actually see it's a 10-year span of stats, and they put them in a couple of categories by year, seriousness of the outcome, and then, of course, the category labeled death. And I'm not going to go over all of them. I'll give you the stats from the year 2000 and then the year 2010. But if you do want to see the entire spreadsheet, you could go to drugwarfacts.org. Or if you are a member on our newsletter list, if you sign up for the newsletters at thepowerherbs.com, you will get this information plus the hot link to go review that as a source if you want. Okay, so in 2000, the number of serious injuries caused by taking pharmaceutical medications was just over 153,000, and the death rate was just under 20,000. Now, jumping forward to 2010, the numbers for serious injury from the drugs jumped to 472,000, and the death by the drug jumped to just under 83,000. So in that 10-year span, serious injury by approved FDA-approved pharmaceutical drugs jumped 77.5%, and the death rate jumped 66.7%. Okay? So these are people that are taking the meds as prescribed, by the way. So according to a report that was published in 2006 issue of the Pharmacotherapy Journal, the mortality risk rate jumps 20% if someone experiences an adverse reaction to a drug while hospitalized. Ooh. So with regard to new drugs approved annually to be on the market, the 2010 Connecticut Law Review stated that injuries and deaths caused by these drugs seem to be growing. Lawyers oversee billion-dollar lawsuits, and some of the most well-known are the lawsuits involving the arthritis drugs that caused heart attacks and strokes, the fen-phen diet drug that caused heart damage, the Propecid for gastric problems that caused heart problems. So if the drug companies have to pay out settlements, that's when they yank them off the market. It's all about money. Is it so much about health and science and, you know, scientific claims being proved? Well, you know, some of this stuff can be a real pain in the neck. right? The pain medicines, let's do that. The pain medicines are a huge health risk. According to a 2009 Federal Register, there are organ-specific warnings on the acetaminophen products. So this is documented that these drugs cause liver injury. There were 56,000 people who ended up in the ER between 1993 and 1999. That's almost 10,000 people a year. And there were 453 deaths while taking this product. The non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs are really no better. According to the September issue of the 1997 Annals of Internal Medicine, these drugs caused 7,600 deaths and 76,000 hospitalizations in the United States. So now you know why. Doctors don't touch this stuff, and they don't use antidepressants either because of the risks. Now I want to touch on the herbal trade for just a moment. In 2014, the researchers at University of Annandale in South Australia found that 60% of the herb products had ingredients that didn't match what was listed on the label. So the risk of that happening is high with imported herb products or companies that use imported herbs to make their products. So it's real important that a company manufacturing herbal products has an herbalist inspecting and formulating the herbs for the products. The herbalist is really a person who is dedicated to the herb field professionally and economically, and they're also skilled in the therapeutic use of medicinal herbs and can harvest herbs at the proper time of year. So the problem with many supplements on the market is that anyone can bankroll a product line and set up distribution for mass production of the supplement. Large companies offer private labeling from their recipe book, or they can custom blend a formula. So you got to be choosy and knowledgeable about the products out there. Now let me ask you a question. When was the last time you heard of a drug or a supplement that had 30 or 60 years of testing and perfecting? Right? Is there any such animal? Is it like looking for a unicorn? Well, when I talk to people, they are pretty pleasantly surprised that the formulas that are made at apothecary herbs are made by an herbalist, and the products have over 30 years of testing behind them. See, when Dr. John Christopher, master herbalist, began thinking about what he would do to pass his retirement from his herb clinic, well, he decided to open a school, the School of Natural Healing in Springville, Utah. He knew he had to pass on this knowledge, and his son David carries on the tradition and runs the school today. I was a student of the school, and Dr. Christopher's formulas work. So we make them at Apothecary Herbs. They are strong formulations with power, and you won't find them in stores. So the process used to make such a formula requires an aging process without heat, and this takes precious time, which, you know, most supplement companies won't invest in. So consumers need to realize that there are different grades of supplements, just like there are different grades of wine. If you buy cheap, well, you'll get what you pay for. And it's also true with the supplements. So based on the evidence that has been published with regard to the pharmaceutical companies hiding data on their drug studies, professional scientists making up drug data in their peer review studies, and the FDA, you know, failing to keep biological pathogens secure in labs, well, you begin to see a serious pattern of fraud and incompetence. So this is an industry that plays the scientific evidence card, and unfortunately, the people are getting the shell game. So, Al, hey, I got to take a break. I'm not done. More on the other side, so don't go anywhere.
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Here on Herb Talk Live, I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're going to finish up this topic about the industry standards and how it affects your health. Personally, allopathic medicine excels in certain areas like trauma, but they fail at preventing or curing internal disease. So it's really going to be up to us, the individual, to be knowledgeable about how we can proactively use natural therapies to strengthen our bodies so they can heal. So there are herbs that can actually do that. They can strengthen your heart, your pancreas, your digestive system, your immune system, liver, your gallbladder. You'll find herbs actually to help you with pain and inflammation, with the shingles, cancer,
pandemics like Ebola and a whole lot more. Yes, yes. So if you're looking for products and information that will help you accomplish your health goals, then you want to call the experts. You want to call Apothecary Herbs. Their number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., it's 704-885-0277. Of course, if you're online, you can visit their website, thepowerherbs.com. You can get there, type in herbtalklive.com, too. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Because if you want Oregon Till certified organic herbs sold direct from the manufacturer with a money-back guarantee, then call now for your free product catalog and empower yourself. It's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Also, they have saving coupons available online. You're just going to click on that HMO green button on the left of the homepage. Or if you want, sign up at checkout for their redemption point. You can save every time you shop. So also, if you don't have access to the internet, have no fear. Just call. Use the mail order form in the catalog. And, of course, if you want to find out what coupons are available, just, you know, call up and ask. And you can apply it. No worries there. Everybody gets some joy, gets some savings, you know. All right, we're going to talk about stomach ulcers for a little bit. A lot of people have this problem. Actually, 5 million Americans suffer from stomach ulcers. And actually, every minute, 7 people are diagnosed with a peptic ulcer. So it means that digestive disease is big business for, guess what, the drug companies and the gastroenterologists. And it also is suggested that 20 million Americans will experience at least one stomach ulcer during their lifetime. So is having a peptic ulcer life-threatening? Maybe not. Maybe not as life-threatening as other diseases, which have, you know, higher mortality rates. However, 12 people a day do die from an ulcer. That's 12 too many, right? Let's look at the symptoms. Ulcer symptoms are described as this burning, aching, gnawing pain located in your upper abdomen or below the breastbone. Symptoms are more severe on an empty stomach, such as in between meals during the night. These annoying symptoms can last for weeks at a time with some brief relief in between. These, they call them bouts, ulcer bouts. So other symptoms that you can have are nausea, vomiting, belching, bloating, loss of appetite, weight loss or weight gain, bleeding. And if you have some bleeding, you may see black stool, fatigue, weakness, and, of course, some anorexia could be in there, eating disorders. So what causes these ulcers? Well, our lifestyle can disrupt this delicate balance of the digestive system. So what we eat and what we drink or stress can even affect the digestive mucosal lining, and the digestive juices can irritate the stomach. So the stomach secretes more acid and digestive enzymes than the stomach and small intestine can tolerate. And over time, these juices can literally digest the stomach lining. So bacteria can also infect the lining, and if we eat contaminated food or drink contaminated water, this can pose a problem. Drugs like anti-inflammatory medicines or aspirin or corticosteroids can also be a major cause, as well as smoking is known to contribute to the formation of ulcers. Alcohol abuse also represents a risk of developing ulcers, and some associated conditions that tend to contribute to ulcers are emphysema and rheumatoid arthritis and liver disease. So what does modern medicine do about this? Well, for nearly 70 years, doctors prescribed dairy products for ulcer therapy to neutralize the stomach acid. Milk therapy for ulcers works temporarily for about 20 minutes, and then the stomach juices rebound with more acid. This is a vicious cycle which triggers the hormone gastrin, and triggering that release will give you even more acid for about 3 hours. So this was actually documented by a 1976 study out of the University of California, Los Angeles School of Medicine. Now, Indian researchers reconfirmed that milk doesn't help ulcers. And in 1986, there was a study that stated that milk therapy for ulcers actually blocked the healing of an ulcer. So by eliminating dairy, milk, and by the way, cheese is 10 times concentration of milk, so that's yogurt, ice cream, milk, you know, that kind of thing. So by eliminating the milk, they reported that the ulcers healed 78% faster. So today, modern medicine prescribes antibiotics to deal with bacteria, but these drugs have side effects, and they have contributed to drug-resistant stomach bacteria. So the drug side effects are going to be diarrhea, fever, joint pain, kidney damage, hives, vomiting, loss of appetite, itching, and mouth ulcers. Now, the acid pump inhibitor drugs, you know, the Prevacid, the Nexium, the Prilosec, etc., they can cause stomach ache, vomiting, diarrhea, constipation, and increase your risk of pneumonia. So the drugs used to neutralize stomach acid, Xanax, Tagamet, Mylanta, they actually can cause dizziness, fatigue, headaches, and breast enlargement in males. So the acid blocker medications like Tagamet and Xanax and Pepcid can cause much of the symptoms described when taking acid neutralizing drugs, plus it can cause, get this, impotence in men. So you do want to do your homework, and you don't want to let ulcers go untreated, but because they could become perforated ulcers, and then you would need surgical attention. So you don't want to let it go too long, but you want to be smart about what you're going to do about it. Let's look at some of the ulcer culprits, okay? Foods that produce more acid than we need are going to be a nightmare for people that are sensitive or have ulcers. These foods are going to be milk, beer, coffee, 7-Up, tea, a lot of tannic acids in there, and caffeine, and especially Coca-Cola. Now, shouldn't you avoid hot, spicy foods maybe too, is what people ask, like cayenne pepper? Well, medical research has shown that the hot, spicy foods, they don't create ulcers or delay ulcer healing. Dr. David Graham of Baylor College of Medicine in Houston found that hot cayenne or jalapeno peppers didn't harm the mucosal lining of the stomach, didn't harm the ulcer, didn't block the healing of the ulcer. In fact, he said the capsaicin in the hot peppers acts as an anesthetic and enhances blood flow to the stomach lining to heal the ulcer. So it numbs the area, that's what he means, and it promotes healing. Now, science has also discovered that the capsaicin also limits the damage that aspirin and alcohol cause to the stomach lining. So let's look at some natural food solutions. You know, why risk yourself to the drug therapy when you can, you know, drink maybe some raw cabbage juice to provide a lot of amino acids and increase the blood flow to the stomach lining so it'll heal? Dr. Garrett Cheney of Stanford University School of Medicine reported that by drinking 1 quart of raw cabbage juice a day showed a 95% healing rate in the stomach lining in just 5 days. So cabbage has this antibiotic in it, and it contains a compound called gefenate, which has been included in a lot of anti-ulcer drugs. But fresh cabbage, you don't heat it, you don't cook it, it's going to have a lot of these live enzymes, which does a better job. So they also said eating raw honey with its natural antibacterial benefits can deal with the bacteria that encourages an ulcer. Also, consuming bananas or plantains, this is kind of a long-time folk remedy for ulcers. They say it reduces inflammation of the stomach lining and builds up the mucosal lining and strengthens the stomach. Now, this lining is your protection against acids, so adding more fiber to the diet will also help. So legumes, fruits, and vegetables, this will strengthen the stomach lining and aid in the digestive process. Now, you want to be aware that a bland diet with a lack of roughage will encourage ulcers. So a lot of refined white flour products, no fruits and vegetables in the diet, lots of red meats, you're going to have ulcers probably. Okay. Also, according to Dr. Frank Tovey of the University College of London, duodenal ulcers, they were rare prior to the 1900s. He says countries with processed foods have higher ulcer rates. high-fiber diets not only heal your ulcers but prevent a reoccurrence. So they suspect it is the fiber that buffers the gastric acid that irritates the stomach lining. But there are some more natural solutions if you tend to be a sufferer of ulcers. Fenugreek herb reduces burning sensation of an ulcer. Willow bark or meadow sweet herb are natural pain relievers and anti-inflammatory aids. Licorice root also contains anti-ulcer properties proven by Scandinavian scientists. Licorice reduces acids and helps repair the stomach lining. Drug companies produce a drug called Kevid S, which is made of licorice compounds. So make sure that when you buy licorice, though, you are getting the real thing and not something that's flavored with anise flavoring. Medical amounts of licorice are not recommended for those who have high blood pressure or are pregnant. Garlic will also protect your stomach lining from harmful foods and drugs. Researchers at Catholic University Medical College in Korea found that garlic compounds reduce the damage of the stomach and inhibits the secretion of gastric acids that can harm the lining of the stomach. And it helps release this hormone-like substance called prostaglandins to strengthen the stomach lining. So garlic is awesome. Now, fennel herb is also great if you tend to have a lot of gas and bloating with your digestive problem. Ginger root will help reduce nausea and vomiting, and slippery elm or marshmallow root will soothe digestive tissue. So it's very soothing to the stomach lining as well. So you want to rebuild your lifestyle. You want more fruits and vegetables, more fiber. You want to use foods as your medicines, folks. And herbs are part of that mix as well. So if you're looking for the herbs we mentioned, the fenugreek, the fennel, the ginger, slippery elm marshmallow, the pain anti-inflammatory, that's all on the powerherbs.com website. You just look under herbal tinctures and you'll find it there, or under their digestive section. You can check that. Now, if you're a smoker and you want to quit, they do have a product called Smoker's Helper. Gives your willpower extra fighting edge so you can quit smoking. So you've got a lot of things. Plus, if you want some little cayenne to add to your, let's say, V8 juice or some other beverage of choice, you know, preferably not caffeinated, you can add some liquid cayenne and help numb that area and improve circulation to the ulcer so it'll heal. And they do have that. It's called circulation formula. So you have choices, you have tools, you have information. And one thing that the folks at Apothecary Herbs will do is inform you, educate you on the tools that you'll be using, and empower you. So check that out, thepowerherbs.com. Of course, you can call toll-free if you need a product catalog at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. All right, we got a few minutes, so I'm going to talk about poop. I can't say it any other way. We're just going to be moving along to the poop topic here. A lot of people don't want to talk about it, but hey, we're going to talk about it. We are. Sometimes when we have foul-smelling poop, it's because it's filled with a lot of bacteria in it. There's not enough perfume or deodorant or cologne that can cover up that, right? So one of the most embarrassing moments is you could be at work, maybe at an important event, and you could have a problem with your digestion, and you have to go to the bathroom, you have to relieve the pressure, but you stink up the whole room, right? And sometimes that scent can kind of cling. So some people take these bottles of liquid potpourri everywhere. Have you seen that? And they apply this endless application to toilet water to counter the foul smell. Well, that's one way of dealing with embarrassing odors. But there is another way of dealing with it, but from the inside. So the stuff that we eliminate, we call it poop. As children, it's easy for us to tell our parents, hey, Mom, I got to go poop, right? Kids don't say, I have feces to get rid of or I have to defecate. They don't say that. I got to go poop. So when did the term poop enter the English language? I had to ask that question. Well, according to author Robert Chapman of the American Slang, he says it was around 1900. According to Eric Partridge, co-author of the book Origins, a short dictionary of modern English, he says the word poop comes from the word poopin or poppin, which he says refers to the sound that a fart makes. Okay. Well, the origin of the word fart seems to have German roots, comes from the word farzen, and the Dutch call breaking wind vist or visting. The Old English version is forten, and that's where we get fart. And no matter what language the term centers in, it's breaking wind, okay? Well, some people think that, you know, all fecal matter will reek, and there's nothing to be done about it. So why does it stink so much? Well, let's take a look at why some people have exceptionally stinky bowel movements. First, what's in the fecal matter? What's it made of? Well, you are what you eat. What's in the poop is comprised of water, live and dead bacteria, fiber, fat, cholesterol, salt, phosphates, protein, mucus, dead cells. If we could neutralize the bacteria, bathrooms across America would smell prettier. So how can we do that? Well, when our body digests our food, our other organs are involved. They aid in the stomach and the colon digestion process. The liver and the pancreas release enzymes and bile to break down proteins and fats used in red blood cells, which are discarded by the liver. Bacteria in the digestive tract will interact with these types of secretions. So the color of the stool reflects your health, and especially the health of your liver. So diets that are rich in meats contribute to a lot of foul-smelling stool because they have more sulfides. If you analyze stool and urine, you can tell a lot about someone's diet and their health, and that's why when leaders of nations travel abroad, their stool and urine is not flushed, but it's collected and incinerated. Because it would be big news to find out that a national leader was on maybe antidepressants or heart medicines or had cancer or organ failure based on analyzing his stool. So you want to control the diet, and you can control a majority of the bacteria and the sulfur that causes a lot of foul smells. So let's look at some of the digestive bacteria. Our bowel needs friendly digestive bacteria, flora, to help digest the foods. Sulfur in the foods we eat can contribute to a lot of the stinky smell that we eliminate. So what we can eat to alter the digestion can contribute to things like irritable bowel syndrome, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease. So what we eat contributes to these digestive problems. And the digestive system, kind of delicate. It has to balance. It has hundreds of floras to work with. So it's estimated that a healthy digestive system has more than 400 healthy bacteria necessary for digestion. So your diet affects this bacteria, and the symptoms of constipation or diarrhea can emerge, especially if E. coli or Salmonella were contracted. So infections multiply in the bacteria about 40% if there is, especially if you don't have any appendix. Your appendix is a gland that releases antibodies to correct an imbalance. So according to a study published in the Journal of Nature in 2013, people who have diets high in meat have different and more abundant bacteria in their gut. The study compared meat diets to plant diets, and those who ate plants had fewer changes in bacterial species compared to the meat eaters. So if you're more of a diet eater, your bacterial changes may be in the category of 3. If you're a meat eater, it's in the category of about 22. So those who eat more meat have bacteria and resist bile acids, which break down fats. And this could explain why the meat eaters have higher cholesterol. And researchers think that these differences in bacteria could prompt conditions like ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. So the ones that are on the plant-based diet seem to have a different type of digestive bacteria, which is more sensitive to fiber intake. So it's going to be important for all of us to do what we can to improve our digestion through our diet, through exercise. And, of course, if you need to do some cleansing, That's a good way to also imbalance gut floras is with a bowel cleanse. So if you're interested in learning how you can do the bowel cleanse that's safe and effective, there's a special way you want to do that. And the folks at Apothecary Herbs can show you how, and they also can put the tools in your hands to do that. And if you're on their website, you just click on organ cleanses, and the first cleanse that you'll see there is the bowel cleanse. That's where you start. If you want to learn more about organ cleansing and how you should do this for your safety and success, well, they do have a little section on their website called Healthy Guidelines, and you just click on organ cleansing, and it explains more to you right there. Now, if you get the product catalog, which is free, you'll notice that they'll have a table of contents, and under the organ cleansing, all the cleanses are listed in order, how you should start them. So it's really easy just to follow down the list, and you can cleanse from the bowel all the way to the blood system, and you can really decrease your likelihood of giving disease a foothold when you do your organ cleansing. So cleanse and nourish and boost the immune system, and you got most things taken care of, really. It's not that complicated. It's really easy to do, and I think our Creator expected us to be vigilant and be good caretakers of our bodies, and he said herbs are here for the service of man. They're meat. We're not supposed to rely on drugs for health. And so we should honor our Creator and respect his herbal medicines and learn more about them and learn how to use them properly. So if you want to jump in there, get your feet wet and learn more about herbs and how to use them, some herb secrets, how to make your own herbal tinctures even, then you might want to pick up a copy of the Power Herbs ebook, which is also on the powerherbs.com website. You just click on books and newsletters. And you can purchase that for $14.99. And it's a 400-page book that's emailed to you. You save it to your computer, and you can learn all about that. So also, you can sign up for the newsletters. So you get some really interesting information in there. It's all free, empowering information, tools you can use down the road to improve your health, and also some hot links to some important events and things in the industry that could eventually affect your health. So we try to keep you up to date and apprised of what's coming down the pike and how you can, you know, sidestep a lot of these health problems that are materializing more than ever in our industry. Now, another thing that you want to do is you want to watch the sundry items, the cosmetic products. People use them so they can smell better, but you could be adding a lot of toxicity to the body, and this could be breaking down a system. So you want to research that. For instance, I don't use deodorants, over-the-counter sprays and deodorants. I'll use the Crystalux product, which is a mineral salt, and it's a natural way to deodorize yourself, but it won't clog up your glands that are designed to excrete toxins. So you can check that out also under the tab on the website, under, I think, Health and Beauty. So check that out there. You can get the Crystalux products there as well. And careful about your soaps. Don't let them strip your good skin flora away. That's your first line of immune system protection. So you want to check and protect that. I like to use a honey oatmeal soap personally because the honey is natural antibacterial but won't strip the good floras, and the oatmeal locks in moisture. So if you switch to a soap like that, you'll realize just how much of your natural oils you were using and aging your skin with wrinkles. So you don't want to – you stop that. Just stop that. So check out the honey oatmeal soap they have there, too, on thepowerherbs.com. Really hard soap, lasts a long time. It's neat. And you can get that there as well. I know I'm almost out of time, but don't forget, coming up on the 17th, next Tuesday – Dr. Rebecca Carley is going to be with us. You can check out our website, reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com. We have her link banner on our links page. Just click on that. So she'll be back with us, and we'll be talking, obviously, about some of the vaccines that are coming out. Goodness gracious. Be prepared. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well. Yeah.